could talk about games. Play my Ryan and Mike.
I'm modern, I'm retro. Video game show.
Yes, we talk about games and some sounds of the stuff.
Like Star Trek, it's a blast. Our gaming podcast.
Hello and welcome to another Talk About Games. I'm Ryan.
And I am Mike. Today we're talking about two games that are almost the exact same game.
Yeah, they're just so alike.
I'm playing Lode Runner. I'm going to be talking about Lode Runner.
I'm going to be talking about Gran Turismo 7 on PlayStation 5.
Yeah, so the same thing.
Similar.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, I want to mention, because a lot of people have been talking to me about it, is they just made a announcement about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, we know that there's going to be the Shredder's Revenge game, I think it's called,
yes,
or something like that. But they made another announcement, and this one is about how they're doing a re-release on consoles and like Switch and stuff of a collection of a lot of the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games. You know, like Turtles in Time and Tournament Fighters and Manhattan Project and stuff like that. And a lot of people on stream were asking me, they're like, Mike, have you heard about it? What do you think about it? And it's like, so it's this kind of stuff happens now and then. Konami, or they did like a Castlevania collection, or I think it was like M2 or whatever. They did,
right,
like they did a collection of all the Castlevania games. There's all kinds of collections out there. There's Capcom collections of beat 'em ups. There's shmup collections. I have a lot of them, and I can understand why people would want to ask me about this in particular, because you know I do a lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle streams and content and stuff like that. I think it's cool that people that don't have maybe access to all the old systems and whatever are able to play it. For me, I have all the old games and stuff. I'm fortunate enough to have that stuff. So like a lot of times with new bundles and releases of things, I don't personally like care that much because I already own the games.
Yeah.
But it's very cool for the people that don't have the stuff or don't have easy access to it, that they'll be able to play it.
So I think Konami saw me coming, because I just spent like $130 on the third Game Boy game. And now they're like, literally a week later or 2 weeks later, they're like, guess what? It's all coming out again. It's on Switch. It's going to be great. And, you know, obviously that's not true. Obviously, you know, but it's frustrating to me that a lot of these games were like very hard to get. They're inaccessible.
Ryan,
like,
thinks the whole world revolves around him. He thinks that Konami makes their decisions based off of what he buys on eBay. What an idiot.
Right. And I was avoiding that.
Yeah.
In there. But, you know, I was just like, oh, great. Now I finally own the last game that's in the bundle that I didn't own before. And then they release it as a bundle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, great. That's awesome. That being said, I feel like the reason why these bundles are so popular, we had Mega Man ZX bundle, we had all of these bundles.
There's all kinds of bundles.
I feel like they're so popular coming out because for the people that were alive when those games were coming out and the people who grew up with them, I think outside of a very few small titles,
mm-hmm,
their imaginations really aren't being captured by new games. I think that a lot of people who grew up, they went to Pizza Hut, they played Ninja Turtles 2 arcade, they have kids now, they have jobs now, they're doing all those things. I don't think they're playing Elden Ring. I think some of them are. I don't think they're playing Call of Duty. Some of them are. But I think that there's this huge population of lapsed gamers that are in their 30s and 40s where the gaming industry isn't getting them.
So I do this like all the time. Like I stream and, you know, all this and make videos and whatever. So I'm a very in this world. So I own all this stuff. I'm fortunate to have all this stuff and have the time to do all this and everything. But like if you're just, you know, a guy, you go to your job and like you're 40 years old and you're like, oh yeah, I want to play like Turtles in Time again. I don't have a copy of it. Like, I can go to Target and I can pick up a Switch and there's all the games done.
And
you
what
know,
the
right?
younger people who watch the show need to understand is these games were AAA killer app mega titles.
Mm-hmm.
Ninja Turtles 2 Arcade was a mega fucking title.
Yeah.
It captured the world in a way that an Elden Ring did,
mm-hmm.
or in a way that the newest RPG that's super popular did, or, you know, Genshin Impact or whatever. Like, it was that popular.
That's probably hard to imagine because they, you know, probably younger generations, I would imagine, look at it and they're like,
right.
what is this?
Right. You it's know? Weird. But yeah. like Minecraft, Roblox, the kids that are playing Roblox and Minecraft 30 years ago, we're playing Ninja Turtles 2 and Manhattan Project,
mm-hmm.
and they were playing the Game Boy games, Fall of the Foot Clan and stuff like that. That's what they were playing. That's what it was. Now, those people are older now, and I think they would like to see it, and I think this game is going to do very well. I think if they release them, let's talk about SNK for a second.
Okay.
SNK releases every single Neo Geo game
mm-hmm.
as a single
thing, yeah.
Release.
Yeah.
And they've done collections. There's like a Metal Slug collection and all that. But if you go on Switch right now,
you can buy them like individually.
Buy them.
I've bought a lot of them.
Individually. That's fine. But if I'm not a core gamer,
yeah.
if I'm not Mike Matei, I'm not buying Shock Troopers 2 individually. Right?
See, I'm a spoiled brat. So I go down the arcade archives and
right.
the Neo Geo games, and I just buy them all. I
right.
just download them all, buy them all, and I got yeah. different like SD cards just full of fucking all the games. But then I'm like, oh, I want the MVS carts
yeah.
for it, and I want the AES carts,
yeah.
and like I just because people ask me that kind of shit like on stream, they're like, what version should I get of such and such game? I'm like, of like Turtles in Time, let's say. I'm like, okay, well, you should get the Super Nintendo version, but you should also get an emulator and for free get like the arcade version. But then I think you should also go on eBay and you should buy like the actual arcade machine and get a pickup truck and drive out to Ohio and like get the real machine and have that in your house.
Because that'll be really good.
And I think that you should get the Genesis Hyperstone Heist version. My answer is get them all. If you can, get them all. Get them all. Because, like,
right.
if you have every version of everything, we can't complain if you got them all. Like,
oh, my God. Well,
and that's not the answer you're supposed to give. I always give, yeah. like, the answers people don't, like to give.
Right.
You know what people don't like? They don't like, you know, they ask me prices and stuff like that. And it's like, dude, those fucking NES games, like, in the nerd room, yeah, I bought them on eBay. Like, and I know, yes, a lot of fans, like, sent in a lot of cartridges and stuff like that. But, like, a lot of those, like, NES games, they came from me. I went out to Funko Land, and then there was a bunch of games that'd be like, oh, we don't have this one, this one, this one. I just went on eBay and, like, bought them all. And then people are like, oh, well, go out to, you know, how do I get this for this and whatever? I'm like, I don't know. I buy the shit on eBay. I go on eBay and I buy it.
Right, because, like, so I live by a flea market.
Yeah.
I live by a big-ass flea market.
Yeah.
Hundreds of stalls.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, you are not going to go. You go to Columbus in New Jersey, or you go to the flea market
right.
I go to. You're not going to go there, and there's going to be rows of NES games that people don't know what they have.
Right.
It's not happening.
Now, yeah, you go, like, if you do go to a flea market or one of those, like, antique malls or something like that, and there's these guys selling the games, they sit there all fucking day, they're waiting for people to come in, and they're looking on eBay, and they're marking the games for the prices that are probably the correct prices. It's fine, like,
right.
but, like, they're not gonna be, you're not gonna find, it's not like 2002, where you go out to a dirt flea market, and it's like, oh shit, I found you know, some semi-rare
Mighty
game.
Final for, Fight.
I found
for
Mighty
a dollar.
Final Fight. Like, it's not 2002. It's 2022.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't fucking know. You want
so,
that shit? Like,
but all of that being said,
yeah,
this is really good because a lot of these games were like the licensing was messed up. It's like now it's Nickelodeon. Now it's this.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? And the fact that they're coming out is really awesome.
It's convenient, too.
We're getting a new beat-em-up this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting all the old ones. What more could you want?
a way to plug all this shit in and be able to play it on a CRT.
Sure.
Like the analog NT has a way to be able to plug this shit into a CRT. Imagine if you could plug a switch into... You got me that DAC.
Yeah.
By the way, I think that's my... It's still sitting here. I keep forgetting it. I need to take it.
Yeah.
I want to... How about a device for the DAC? A device for the Switch and the PlayStation 4. I'm not singling out the Switch.
Dude, it's got an HDMI plug. Bring that home. Plug your Switch into it. See what happens. It just has an HDMI plug on it.
Oh, to try it with the DAC and see if it works on the Switch.
See what happens.
If I can get the Switch to come up on my CRT with the DAC. Yeah. Maybe I can do it with that. But I was thinking like if Nintendo or PlayStation release something like that. But they probably never will because the market's so small for that,
right.
I guess.
Where are people going to find a CRT? I got to tell you, doing this arcade thing, because we're setting up these arcades for too many games.
The Sidewalk.
The Sidewalk.
It doesn't have to be a Sony Trinitron.
Right, but what I'm saying is like every one of these monitors has come along reflowing. Every one of these monitors that's come along, I'm sitting there with canned air. Every single one of them in all these arcade machines, it's like a lot of work.
I'm not talking about arcade machines. I'm talking about a consumer level CRT that you'd have in your house. That's two different things. Arcade machine's one thing. A CRT that you'd watch like Roseanne on,
right?
That's a different thing. Like people throw them out all the time because they don't want them anymore because everybody has the new TVs. But for retro gamers, and with this, we're talking about Turtles in Time being re-released, right? So I want a way to play it on a fucking CRT.
I got a new CRT.
Yeah?
I did. So we were cleaning out this basement in this house. And I go in the basement, and there's like a 50-inch, 48-inch, I don't know what it is, gigantic Mitsubishi CRT that like would barely fit on this table.
Man, I love those huge fucking CRTs.
And it's like a monster.
Yeah.
It's so gigantic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I look over to my wife. I'm like, yo, we got to get this out of here.
Yo, I'm on Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah.
Like when I am looking at the CRTs, like that's my porn.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at the CRTs, I'm scrolling through. I'm like, oh, that fucking, my God, that Trinitron is fucking beautiful. Oh my God, look at this candy cab. I fucking love
I should show
CRTs.
I should show you the CRT.
I would love to see it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like, now I'm thinking about like, where am I going to put it? It's like 250 pounds. Like it took three dudes to get it out of there. Like, and we got it out of the basement and there was tiny little steps and it was like.
It's always like that. Yeah.
It was insane. But we have it now.
That's when I pay a dude. I'm like, pay the guys. I'm not lifting a 500 pound TV.
If you play Duck Hunt on this thing.
Yeah.
The fucking ducks would be that big.
It's awesome.
Right?
You can't tell me that that's not more exciting than playing Duck Hunt on like a flat on this.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
You're clicking with your Wiimote.
Dude, don't get me. We're going to talk about Wii one day.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. Yeah, but anyway, so that's the Turtles thing. I got to get to what game am I doing? I don't even know.
Load Runner.
All right.
Yeah.
So you've played Load Runner.
Okay, so I have played Load Runner, and here's the amazing thing about it. The last time I played Load Runner was in 1988.
I believe it.
And I was over this Lauren Cooper's house, and I played it. And that is like, I remember that. I remember the little guy. I remember the little treasures. I remember the little bricks and the little ladders.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
what
all
version
of it.
Was it?
NES.
NES.
It was 1988. Mm-hmm. Last time I played Load Runner. Haven't thought about Load Runner since.
Yeah.
I remember everything.
So I give you a little nostalgia infusion there.
Everything about it. I was over this person. I haven't seen this person in 34 years.
Can you describe? Okay, so you haven't played this game in 34 years. This is kind of an interesting thing. So you haven't even fucking seen it for 34 years.
Seen it.
Tell me, like, what would a level be like in Load Runner?
So it's a black background.
Sort of. There's like bricks you walk on, and then
there's little bricks,
mm-hmm.
and there's ladders,
yes,
and there's treasure,
yep,
and there's people chasing you,
right,
and you got to get all the treasure, and then a ladder You go up the ladder.
Yeah.
And that's the game.
Pretty much.
34 years ago.
Well, at least it stuck with you enough that you remember that from 34 fucking years ago.
Exactly.
So, okay, so...
I was four, by the way.
This wasn't, like, the number one game I wanted to bring to the podcast, but what happened is... This is what happened, is I looked at... I was looking at a list somewhere or whatever, and I was like, why are there so many fucking versions of Lode Runner? The first one, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the first one was on Apple II.
Wow.
Which, man, I would love to do some Apple II stuff one day.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I had a neighbor also across that. I didn't have the Apple II. I think it started there, and like you said, the guy is running around the screen and all this stuff. Then there's the NES version. So I was like, okay, let me play the NES. Because I like that kind of stuff, like Ice Climbers and like Wrecking Crew and those kind of games, you know? And so I'm like, okay, Lode Runner. So I was like, let me pop in the NES one. I start playing the NES game, and I realize that I don't really like it that much because there's kind of a fatal flaw to it.
Okay.
The NES version. So the original Apple version, from what I know, the entire level is on the screen. The NES version, the screen kind of scrolls.
Right.
So... you might be on like the left side of the screen and you can't see the whole right area. So when you're walking along with your guy, all of a sudden you're on the side of the screen and an enemy just like comes off on the side of the screen and kills you because you can't see the whole fucking level. Mm-hmm. So you're a lot of times you're getting killed.
Imagine playing Burger Time where you couldn't see.
Right. Like you're climbing up the ladder, like you're climbing down the ladder and then you just die because you couldn't see the guy coming.
Yeah.
You know? It's kind of the issue I've always had, and a lot of other people have said this with Sonic, is I always wanted Sonic to be more zoomed out.
Right.
I always thought that I would like Sonic more if it was just more... I wonder if anybody ever tried to do that, like just zoom it out a little more. And I know it's really impressive to me that there's so many people that are so good at Sonic and can like just run through the levels and everything. Because I'm like, I have to take Sonic the Hedgehog very slow because I'm like, I'm going to run into a spike or I'm going to run into this or that because I can't see far enough.
I think it's memorization, right?
I guess so. And I guess I didn't have the Genesis as a kid, so I didn't remember it enough to get really good at it.
Right.
But anyway, so... that's the problem with the NES version. If you could see the entire screen, it'd be all right. So then there's the arcade version. There's all these different versions of it. And I was like, all right, there's fucking like 30 different versions of this game. One of them's got to be good. So I start playing all the Lode Runner games. I'm like, all right, I don't like the NES version. Get that out of here. And unfortunately, I wanted to like it.
It has a stage creator.
It does, yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
That it's always cool when games have stuff like that, like Excitebike, you know. My favorite of all time of that is Warcraft 2, Tides of Darkness. It had the WADs and the map editor. Dude, when I was 16 years old, that's all I fucking, so many hours I pumped into fucking just making. It's like, it was like the Minecraft of the time, you know? It's like you're making your own, like, levels and whatever. Like, oh my God, it was so much fun. I love Warcraft 2. All right, so the Super Famicom version I played, and that one looks totally different. It's like, it's 16-bit, but the style of it is like, it's more of a fantasy style, and it was only in Japan. And this one I liked a lot better gameplay-wise because they split the screen in half. The bottom part of the screen has a little map to where, at least if you're using like this little mini-map, you can see where everybody, all the enemies and stuff are on the screen. And then the top half is like where the nice graphics are. And it doesn't look like the Lode Runner you'd remember. It looks like... like the levels were like made of candy and cake and like it's that kind of theme, like food and stuff, which is kind of cool. But what I found is because still the top half is you're not seeing the full screen, the bottom little map. I found myself playing the game in the little window on the bottom.
Oh wow!
And I'm like, this is stupid because like all I'm doing is looking at this window. Like you got these nice graphics happening up top, and I'm like, I'm not even looking at them. Because I'm just looking at the little dots on the bottom moving around. Because then I can see where all the enemies are. And that's what I want to see.
You'd rather do that.
You'd rather just do that. So it's like, all right. And also, I didn't really... it's like the food thing is like cool, but that's not load. That's not what Lode Runner
like,
looks
to me.
Like.
I always think of like the little treasures and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
and the guy kind of looks like sort of like a Dig Dug or like a Bomberman. It's kind of that kind of look.
Right.
He's supposed to look like. And this game was like this almost like swords and fantasy Lord of the Rings kind of thing. And I was like, this is not right for Lode Runner.
Mm-hmm.
So it was better than the NES version, but still I wasn't happy. So I moved on. And then I found out that there was a version on... I played a bunch. I played one on PC Engine. I played Game Boy, and I did not like the Game Boy one. And all these different versions I played. And then I landed on finding out that there is one for the Nintendo Switch, and I had no fucking idea.
Wow.
So the Nintendo Switch version looks like real Lode Runner. It like he looks like what Lode Runner would look like in the original like arcade game and stuff, except it's now... modern graphics, except it's a voxel style. And I know not everybody likes voxel stuff, but usually I like voxels. And if you don't know voxels, like check out a great example of a good voxel game is Rezogun on the PS4. It was a launch title,
cool.
Yeah. Like a shmup. Beautiful game and a very good game. But so this game's a voxel style. The levels are all on this fucking screen. The entire level is on the screen. It's sort of, it's not this thing that scrolls and then you can't see the enemies, any of that. A big improvement that they made is the old versions that I played on like Super Famicom, NES, all this. Sometimes the Lode Runner guy will be like walking along and then there'll be like an invisible block that you just like fall through.
Right.
But it's just like the ground, like a bunch of bricks, and then you fall through the bricks. And it just looks like ground. What they did in the Switch version is they made it to where if you fall through one of those like fall through bricks, then the brick turns a different color so that you know, you can know like, oh, that brick, I already fell through it. Now I know. Because what I was having trouble with the older, like the NES version is like, oh shit, I fell through the thing. And then you go back again.
Which
and
one was it?
Which fucking block was it? And then there's like several of them. And it's like, how am I going to remember? And then the screen scrolling. So it's like hard to remember in the NES version. So they improved like all these like little things about the game. Like it looks very nice. It looks Lode Runner. It's all on one screen. There was one problem that I had with the Switch version. So in Lode Runner, you were talking about the little treasures, like
yes.
Those little piles of gold, and you're supposed to collect them all, and then the ladder appears. Same exact thing on the Nintendo Switch, except here's what happens. So let's say there's five piles of gold or whatever it is. They're like little, they're different. They're little gold things that you collect. Let's say that you got four of them and there's like one left. So when you die, they don't put all the gold back. There's only the one left. Like, the way I think it should be is you have to redo the entire stage.
Right, because you have to do it in one run.
You have to do it in one run.
Yeah.
And the Switch version makes it easier.
Right.
Like, they kind of, it's what they do with, like, a lot of games now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, people aren't going to want to do that again. And I'm like, I want to do it again because it's like, now I'm doing the level and all I got to do is collect one thing and then the ladder comes and you're done. It's, like, stupid. So that I didn't like, but that said, I only played the game for maybe an hour. There's all kinds of unlockable challenges and different modes and stuff. So if I were to play it more, I think it would unlock a bunch of much harder stuff.
Right.
So it's probably okay.
Yeah.
But I didn't play enough of it, you know? And so basically, this is an example of where I'm going to say that I think the Switch version is better than the NES version, and that's something that you probably don't hear me say often. Of all the ones that I played, I'd say go for the Switch version.
Wow.
There's lots of versions that are, like, on Windows and stuff, and a lot of those, like, I didn't play them, but, like, I looked up screenshots of all the different games and stuff, and they look not good. Like, the graphics are kind of like assy.
You told me you really didn't like the Game Boy version.
Oh, the Game Boy version I hated. And I love the Game Boy. I love Game Boy games, but that version like was very very annoying to play.
Wow.
But so just one of the things I wanted to say about this game though is like if you look at a list of like Lode Runner games on like Wikipedia or wherever, there are like 30 or 40 of these fucking games over the last 30, 40 years.
Right.
And like, I have to wonder, like, who is playing these Lode Runner games? Because nobody talks about it ever. You haven't played it since 1988 or whatever. I haven't really been playing it. But there's been like 40 of these games. And like at some point, one of these Lode Runner games must have did really well. There's one on Nintendo 64 as well. One of these games had to have done really well. And I think they think of this as like a Pac-Man.
Right.
Or like a... I'm almost like, do they even... Like, who is buying this? Like...
Yeah, small, dedicated fan base.
I guess it just has this small, dedicated fan base. I guess, except what's weird about it, though, is nobody ever talks about it. I stream all the time. I've never heard anybody bring up Lode Runner.
Right.
Like, ever. Why are there 40 of these?
I don't know. I guess it just works. Maybe they're cheap to make.
Maybe they're cheap to make, and people just remember it just enough that they could sell... just yeah. enough to make a profit, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's yeah. really weird.
It's crazy.
But yeah. So that's the deal with Lode Runner. I don't know. I don't have much more to say about it. But I do want to talk about something. This is totally off topic. But, I look around Twitter sometimes and I see people make posts and they say, like, hey, who remembers Toys R Us? And then the tweet gets... And then there'll be a picture of like an old Toys R Us or like who remembers KB or something like that. And then there's a picture of KB. And then the tweet gets like 50,000 retweets. And it's like, is it just like, who are these tweets of people? Like who the fuck doesn't remember Toys R Us? So the reason I bring this up, I wanted to ask you, why would such a basic thing get that many retweets? Is it just that people are so... Most people are so casual that they're like, oh, wow, Toys R Us, retweet. Like,
yeah, I mean,
that's all. I would never make a tweet like that.
They're like farming for engagement. There's this YouTuber that I looked at, and I'm not going to say who it is, but I'm like, oh, let me look at their Twitter, see how it is, right? And they do Minecraft and Roblox and kids stuff.
Okay.
Right? And I look at their Twitter, and I'm like, let's see what lovely insights this person will have on Twitter. And they have a post, lowercase I like Minecraft.
Wait, what?
They have a lowercase I, like it's not a capital I.
Okay.
The tweet is just lowercase I like Minecraft.
That's all they say.
That's all they say.
Okay.
And it has like insane engagement.
Instead like, of capital I like Minecraft.
Yeah, and the M's lowercase.
And what
too.
Is the what does the lowercase mean?
Nothing. They just didn't use any capitalization.
Okay.
I like Minecraft. 10,000 likes, all these retweets. It's crazy. Next tweet. I hate Minecraft. Oh my God. Crazy tweets. All of that.
Okay.
Next tweet. Sorry, Minecraft. Crazy engagement.
Right.
And then they say something about like a video coming out and has no engagement.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, such a waste of time.
So but what do you get out of let's say you make a tweet and it's got like a million retweets or whatever.
Right.
What do you get out of that?
I don't think they get anything because nobody's going to like follow, like they just want to see numbers. And I think that's the biggest problem. And that's the comment you're making. Hey, remember Fuddruckers? Oh, I get all these likes. But they're not, it's not genuine engagement. It's not real.
Right.
It's not.
Well, you know what the other thing is? Like, I bet I at some point have made a tweet like that as well.
Yeah.
But I never, like, felt like, I would need these retweets or whatever. I just, like I said, the Toys R Us thing or the KB thing. Like, I have nostalgic memories for all that stuff. Like,
right.
Like, I love, like, Lionel Kitty City and whatever. So I might make a tweet or an Instagram post and be like, hey, like, fucking Lionel Kitty City, remember that? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I get that, but it's like, it's, I guess what I'm saying is like, it seems like it's weird to me. I feel like some people are doing it on purpose.
Yes, it's engagement for the sake of engagement. You're just fishing for engagement.
But I guess I'm asking, why do they want that engagement?
Because the engagement turns into money, Mike.
How?
Because they can send people to their products and services and videos and things, and it makes them look important.
So they're trying to build this audience.
Yes.
By saying, oh, who remembers KB? And then you get a million retweets. And so people start following you. And then you're hoping that when you post, I'm selling this t-shirt, that people buy it because now they know who you are.
Yes.
Right. That's what they're doing?
Yes.
Okay. So it's about making money once again.
Or they're trying, like right now, like let's talk about film for a second.
Yeah.
Right now in film, people who want to fund, let's say that you're not an established guy. You're not established.
Okay.
And you're like, I want to get money for my movie, right? Because I want to make a movie.
Yeah.
You go to all these film blogs, all these film classes. You pay all this money to learn how to get your film sold, how to get money for your film. And what all these classes and all these people and gurus and shit comes down to is do something else. Make a podcast. Make a YouTube channel. Make a short. Make a comic book. Make this other thing, right? Because the studios, the people with the money, the people with the deep pockets aren't going to support your project unless you're already famous. Unless you already have an audience.
Right.
Unless they already have somebody you could sell to. So you have all these guys.
I saw an article, because we always talk about how much, you know, we like Star Trek and all that. So yeah. Colm Meaney, Chief O'Brien, a lot of these Star Trek people have Twitters, almost all of them. Yeah. Colm Meaney doesn't have Twitter. So I looked it up. I looked up some Colm Meaney interviews, and he had done this interview where he was like, I don't want Twitter. Like, I don't like it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to sit there and do it, all this stuff. And then he's like, but it sucks as an actor, because a lot of times, if you don't have the Twitter and you're not like plugged in like that, he said it can make it harder to get roles. And he's like, fuck this shit.
Because they have to be like, okay, you want to have the guy attached to the project.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I want to have Colm Meaney attached to the project. And you go to the money guys, and the money guys are in China or Europe or whatever. And you're like, yo, we're going to have Colm Meaney attached to this. And they're going to be like, oh.
How many Twitter followers does he have? And then like, he doesn't have Twitter.
Get somebody else. And they're like, I'm not giving you the money.
Right.
Right?
So he was complaining about that, because back in the, let's say, 80s, the 70s, none of this bullshit existed. Right? And it was like, they would get an actor because they were good for the part.
Right, but now it's like very cynical, like, oh, what are we going to get?
Yeah. Oh. The actor. Oh, yeah. Oh, they'd be like, oh, yeah, he's a great actor, but he doesn't have a million Twitter followers. So let's get this other guy who might not be as good for the role, but he can get more engagement on Twitter.
Right.
Maybe. But then the other thing is, even if you're like super duper famous, I see like super duper people make tweets, super duper famous people make tweets, and it'd be like, here's my new project. And nobody fucking cares, because it's not the thing they're most identified with, you know what I mean?
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is, you make the I like Toys R Us tweet.
Yeah.
For engagement.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the same thing with me. Like, if I type something about ABGN,
yeah,
it'll all these retweets and stuff, and I know that. But if I write something about, you know, some other new thing, I make some new thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I have smiley face man. That's my new thing. My smiley face man. I make a tweet about that. Nobody cares, right? You know,
because the thing is that it's like sugar versus like healthy food, right? If you build your social empire off of these like meme-y, transactional tweets.
Yeah.
You might get the likes and you might get the followers and you may get all that, but they're not tied into what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
Right? So I think because people want the fast track. You know, we talked about it with this show. People want the fast track to, they want to get the millions of views, they want to get the millions of followers, they want to get to the end without going at the beginning.
So I've done some videos in the past that have gotten millions of views.
Yeah, we've done them together.
We have. We like the NES Classic and stuff like that and all that. And, you know, I've done like top 10 lists and stuff like that, and things that have had millions of views. And so I've been on that end of it. And it's really nice. You know, people leave like nice comments and stuff like that and be like, oh, like good video and stuff like that and whatever. But it's like, as nice as it's really nice that people watch it and whatever. But it's like, when somebody, you know, you have a video that comes out and it has a million views and then the video has 10,000 comments, a lot of those comments will be like first, second, third, you know, and it's like, well, that's a worthless thing.
Right.
Or, but, and if so, even if it's a positive comment and somebody's like, cool video, it's like, what does that really do for me if it says cool video? I like that they liked it. They said it was cool. It's very nice. But like, what I'm looking for at this point in time is like, I did maybe a stream a couple weeks ago of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and somebody left me like a paragraph, and they were like, hey, Mike, on stage 10, if you get the idol and you go to this area, and blah, and they leave this like, they thought about it, and they leave this like really thoughtful comment. And it doesn't even have to be a paragraph, but just something that's like really thought out and like a quality comment.
Right.
Or like a quality person, like that's what is has really become important to me. So it's like I don't really care about the, you know, I don't, there's like, oh, millions of views and whatever. I would rather have, if every like comment could be like just like really quality, like somebody actually watched the video from beginning to end and they thought about what I was saying and was and pointed something out and then left a comment. If I could have a video that like was like that, that means a lot more to me than having a million views.
Right.
You know, and that's what I
like.
Look for.
It's like, oh, you shared, it makes you feel like you shared something of value.
Yeah.
Because somebody talked about
it. Right.
Like they had like a feeling about it.
Exactly.
I like that.
And I think a lot of people find it unfathomable that like you, because everything seems to be like a popularity contest, like, like, oh, look at this. This only has like 2,000 views, and shouldn't it have like a million views? And it's like, that's not what's important. It's like, it's not what's important.
I share like pretty technical stuff on Twitter.
Yeah,
which isn't the smartest thing. Like
right.
Yesterday, I shared like a circuit board where I was like looking at something on it, and I'm like, that's what I wanted to share.
Right.
You know, that's probably not the best move to like build up
if you want to become popular
or
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
But like, that's what I was doing, and that's what I care about. So that's what I'm going to share.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like,
you know, it's kind of like making a Talk About Games episode about Lode Runner and Gran Turismo 7.
It's not helping us.
It's not.
Like, we should probably be making a video about, like, I don't know, something more people care about. Like, if
right.
we had, yeah, like, when did Gran Turismo 7 come out?
Last week.
So it's newer.
It is.
But it's not, like,
it's not mainstream. Like, you got to be, like, dedicated to that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fucking in on this game.
So what's up with this?
I'm in on it. And it's not the typical game that we would talk about.
I haven't played Gran Turismo since maybe the second one. The,
right.
Like PS2?
So PS1
yeah.
has Gran Turismo, Gran Turismo 2.
I didn't play those ones. I played the when it got to PS2 or
PS3. PS2 has, oh my God, Gran Turismo 3.
I think that one I played.
Yes.
That's the one I know.
Gran Turismo 3, I don't think is as good as Gran Turismo 2.
Okay.
And I've played the 4s and the 5s and the 6s and the Gran Turismo Sport, which was the, like, online one.
The only thing I can say from back in the day trying out, because I like driving games, you know, F-Zero and shit like that. And Gran Turismo, I played for a while, and I was so impressed back then with how the graphics looked.
Yeah.
Even back then, like, I was like, God, right. this looks so good. I can't imagine how good it looks now.
All the cars are fully modeled inside and out.
Mm.
It's like you're driving the car. The PlayStation 5 with the new controllers that have like the HD
right.
like rumble, like you feel like,
and you can
gas
get like
pedal.
Actual wheels and shit. Right?
Like
yeah.
But even just with the controller, like you feel. You know, you drive a car, you can like feel the gas pedal.
So I don't in most games. I do not like rumble.
You want it in this.
But this is one rare exception where I probably would want rumble.
Because it's not like rumble in Gran Turismo, and it's funny, this is the first thing I'm talking about, has gotten to the point where it has like texture to it. It's not just like an N64. It's just like there's like a buzzer in the controller. It's like,
You ever had the rumble and whatever, and but you're doing something else and you have the controller on the table and it rumbles and it falls off the table.
Yeah,
like I've had that happen a lot to me.
But remember, the PlayStation sticks are force feedback too. They can push against you. It's not just rumble, it's resistance.
Okay.
So the gas pedal, it feels like a gas pedal. It feels like a brake pedal.
Right.
You drive over you drive over a bump and you feel it in the
This is a PS5 title.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you feel it in the sticks.
Yeah.
And the car, the inside of the car, like most racing games, I'll go to like the overhead view.
Yeah.
In this game, you can drive in the car, and because it's 4K and it's super nice, like there's enough space where, like, when things were not HD and not 4K and all, like the HUD of the car, like the steering wheel and stuff, really like took away from the process.
Yeah.
Because there's just too much screen space being wasted on,
right,
like, the pillars of the car and stuff like this. In this, like, the windshield wipers look like really good.
Yeah.
The when it's raining, the lights look really good at night.
Yeah.
Like, you want to see the steering wheel because, like, the analog stick tracks to, like, the turns.
Yeah.
So when you push the analog stick, you could see the wheel. So you know how much the wheel...
So is
turned.
It, since I haven't played it in a really long time, is it, so you're like, you're racing and
so
there's like, these have like real cars. And from what I know, I'm not like a car guy too much, but like, I know that with like real, like race cars, aren't like a lot of race cars to where like, you have to like climb through the window to like get in the car and like, you're all like, you're really fucking in there. Is it like that? Or
we'll
is it like,
it. So. To understand Gran Turismo, you have to understand what GT racing is to begin with. So GT is Grand Touring, GT racing. And the history of Grand Touring racing comes from, and club racing as well, comes from production models. So, like, it's production models that go out into the world that drive. They're real cars.
Mm-hmm.
They're not purpose-built racing machines.
Okay.
Now, this game has purpose-built racing machines in it.
So that's in there, too.
Right?
So it's like everything.
But the whole idea of GT racing and of club racing and all of that is that it's a car that you could go to a car dealership or you could go to a used car lot and you could buy that car. And I think that's the biggest thing that made Gran Turismo so special. And it was the one thing I didn't like about the biggest competitor to Gran Turismo, which is Forza Motorsport.
I tried a Forza game once, and it was too, like, Gran Turismo, I kind of enjoyed. I didn't, like, love it. I'm talking about the old one, like, the PlayStation 2 one. Like, I was, like, okay with it. But then Forza was almost, like, just driving simulator. It was very, like, super technical from what I remember. And I'm, like, I like Burnout 3, Takedown, and F-Zero.
Yes.
You know? So, unrealistic.
So.
And Cruise and Blast, I like.
Right now. That realistic, unrealistic thing is a solved problem in both Forza and in Gran Turismo.
How so?
So when you start the game, there's like a questionnaire, right?
Oh.
And it's like, what kind of games do you like? Do you need these assist features? What are you about?
Yeah.
Dude. Tell me. So you answer the questions. And it's like, hey, do you want to have it look super pretty? Or do you want to have like a super tight frame rate? Like it asks you.
That is brilliant.
All these questions. And you can play it to the point where it like tells you when to brake. It tells you when to drive. Like you can get it to the point where it's like very like automated or very like arcadey.
Right.
Or you can get it to the point where it's like super fucking accurate
right.
and super perfect.
So you can do either.
You can do either.
Oh, well, gee, maybe. I would make it very unrealistic.
Right.
You know?
And it's like even when I play, like, so.
How do you play?
I have it, like.
Are you, like, in the middle?
Well, I mean, like, so if you look at the footage that's accompanying this episode.
Okay.
You're going to see footage where everything's off and footage where everything's on.
So you do.
I play this game with my son.
Okay.
So when I was playing, and me and my wife are playing this game, too.
Yeah.
So me and my wife kind of play towards the middle. I played it super realistic so I could get a feel for what that is.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I really like the vibration and all of that. And when I played with my son, you know, I like that it tells him when to brake, like the light, like the red on the track. Because if I don't, he'll just slam it in the wall.
Yeah.
Right?
if you were playing this game and it's 3:30 a.m. and you're like, I'm gonna play this game. You're by yourself, not for a video, just for you yourself. How are you playing this game?
It's probably like in the middle, like one step towards more realistic.
Okay.
Right. But not like the dudes with the wheels and the fucking, they're like right. dialing in like the camber rate on the fucking.
So fairly realistic.
Yeah, but fairly not realistic, like, but not like crazy. Like, I don't know the difference like of like a wing, like the wing, like the pitch of it.
Yeah.
Like how it affects downforce or like transmission gear ratios or like any of that shit that you get into.
Okay.
And the customization on the cars works really well with that because you could just be like, I know that I want like a super torque based transmission, like where I want it to accelerate fast versus I want a high top speed. So like when I'm making the choice, I'm like, do I want like the twisty transmission or the like super like huge speed NASCAR transmission?
Right.
I know that. But if I had to manually set the gear ratios, I don't know that.
Okay.
Whereas,
but they have it.
They have it. Mm. Whereas, if you're at the lower end, you could be like, "Oh, I want the good, the better, the best transmission," right? So the customization's to the point where it's like, "How much do you know?
How unrealistic can you get it to be?"
You could get it to be like it's like freaking super off road, and you just pick like the nitros and like the high,
yeah.
Yeah.
And just go crazy.
Yeah, yeah. You could be like, oh, I want the best engine. I want the best air thing. I want like.
Because I just want to like drive the car around and I want to crash into shit.
Yeah.
I want to crash cars.
So you can do that, but you get twice as much money if you don't.
Okay.
At the end of the race.
Because that's what I really like. God, what was the other game? I play Stunt. You ever play Stuntman?
Yeah.
I like Stuntman a lot, and I like, I like just fucking crashing cars. I like really going over ramps and smashing a car into, like, a giant truck and having to get explode and get points and shit. That's what I like.
So you get more points not doing that. So.
Not doing that, yeah.
So,
So I should play the new, like, Burnout games, because there's one on Switch and
you
shit.
You should play, of the marquee racing titles.
Mm.
So you have Gran Turismo 7, which is the PlayStation 1. You have Forza Motorsport, and you have Forza Horizon. So Forza Horizon is open world.
Okay.
And Forza Horizon, like, there's like, oh, find all the jumps that are on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And find all of these things. I think you, of the three major racing games, you would love Forza Horizon.
Okay.
Forza Motorsport is the most techie.
No, I don't want that.
And it's all like race cars.
Okay.
It's mostly like high end, like $100,000 million mega cars.
Yeah.
Not that the other games don't have that, but that's what it's focused on.
Okay.
Forza Horizon has the best car selection of all of them. And you could just drive around, you could drive off a cliff. Like, it's not like a racetrack.
Right.
Gran Turismo 7 is midway between.
Yeah.
And there's one thing I want to say. Gran Turismo 7 has an arcade mode, and it's kind of cool. It's called Music Rally.
Okay. What's that like?
So Gran Turismo has always been known for its music. You know, like Gran Turismo 2 has, like, Dracula, and it has all these, like, popular early 2000s, 90s songs, all of that.
Yeah.
Music Rally is the song plays, and it's like, how many laps can you do before the song's over?
Right.
And it's very, like, Ridge Racer.
That's one thing I worry about, because if, like, I was going to, like, stream a game, it's like, I got to worry about music. There's, like, some game. Dude, speaking of, like, cars and shit, like, there's a game that I really, really, really would love to stream,
yeah,
but I can never stream it.
Right.
Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Yeah.
Because I'm not fucking playing that game without the music.
Right.
But man, that's one that I love that game so much.
Yeah.
Love that fucking game. And, you know, all those, I mean, there's driving in Grand Theft Auto is like, a lot of people like hate that because, like, you can't, it's hard to like come up and park in front of like a stoplight even. Like, it's not good. That game is like made to like crash into shit and go crazy and whatever. But,
So Gran Turismo 7 has a music rally mode, which is good if you just want to pick a car and go.
Mm-hmm.
It has a bunch of missions where they give you the car, where you don't customize it. It's like, use this car, do these missions. That's cool. But Gran Turismo 7 is as much a driving simulator as it is a car culture simulator. And I think that that's kind of interesting in that, like, all these YouTubers have come out and all of these influencers have come out that are in the cars.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, I'm the Ferrari guy. I'm the Toyota guy. I'm the whatever.
They're just
guy.
Getting it because they like cars, right. Not even because they're so much of gamers.
So now it's like, you know, if you go on YouTube, like, people are starting to know that these manufacturers have these paint colors and this is the engine code of this car.
Right.
This came these years and this, and people really like this one from the 90s. So they created the Gran Turismo Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this, like, snooty dude in there who gives you menus. And they look like menus at a nice restaurant. It's like, get these three cars. And then I'll tell you something about them. And there's, like, a wine glass. And it's, like, very, like, cultural.
Yeah.
And then they show you, like, videos about, like, the history of those cars and all of that. But all the cars are cars that, like, car enthusiasts really care about.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do BMW M cars. We're going to do Japanese turbo cars. We're going to do these old British cars. We're going to talk about the Volkswagen Beetle. We're going to do Mustangs. We're going to do Camaros. It's like very like thematic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think back to this and like you can go in and say, I want to paint my car. Oh, I'm going to pick BMW colors. I'm going to paint it Interlagos blue metallic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to go to Ferrari. I'm going to go to Lamborghini. I'm going to paint it that actual color. And they licensed all the paint colors. Now, you could also go and say, oh, I'm going to use the sliders and pick whatever.
Right.
But the fact that it's like very like professional and
yeah.
And it's all very like car culture. Like,
well, the companies that, own all these cars probably want it to be very particular because they don't want anything bad, out there. They're probably not going to let their car have some shit-looking paint job on it.
Right.
Because then you're driving around and you're like, oh, what kind of car is that? It's like,
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like, my favorite car color is a Porsche color. It's Miami blue.
Okay.
Which is the Porsche blue. It's like a light blue. And you go in there and you pick Porsche. There it is. Miami blue, and you can have it on your car in the game, and it looks exactly like it. It's in 4K, and the inside of the car is all fully artistically done and everything, and it's so cool.
Right.
It's like, have you ever heard of Cars and Coffee?
I'm comedians and cars getting coffee. No.
So Cars and Coffee, like I say, this game is
no,
the,
I haven't.
This game is the game for cars and coffee culture. So right now, all over the country, on a weekend day, there is Cars and Coffee. It's one weekend a month, and they're all over. And you go, and they're held by different organizations. And you go, and you drive up, and everybody shows their cars.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever gone to a parking lot on the weekend and seen all the cars?
Yes. But usually when I see that, it's like old cars.
Right.
Like 60s.
Well, around here, they're really big into like Hondas and stuff like that. Like, different places have different...
When I notice it, it's usually classic cars.
Right.
Okay.
So that's like a Cars and Coffee.
Okay.
And like this game has like all the brand managers of all of the like different companies. Yeah. Like their faces are in it and it's like...
It reminds me a little like of the like arcade machines, because if they want to get like an old car, it's like then you got to fucking keep it up because you get an old arcade machine.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, but you better have a dude or you better be into that and know how to fix it yourself. Like I'd like to have an old like 1957 like Chevy Coupe DeVille. Like I always loved that fucking car with the red, with the fins and everything on it. But if I had it, it would probably just sit in my driveway because it would break and then I wouldn't know how to fix it because I'm dumb.
Well, that's the problem. Like, I used to have a 69 Mustang and I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked to drive it, but it was a pile of shit and a lot of rust and it had a lot of situations.
So that has to be your hobby and you have to...
But, yeah.
Yeah. Or you have a guy that comes...
But I don't want to have a guy.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to sit in my garage and sand my car every weekend for... Yeah. The rest of my life,
right.
And do all the work and everything. So I donated it to a museum, and the museum restored it, and it looks awesome.
Mm.
So I could go visit the car whenever I want, but I wasn't doing that.
Right.
There was no way.
Because then that's your whole life.
Yeah.
You got to work on it all the time, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I like the music rally mode. I like the menu quests. There's missions where you drive cars. I like those. There's the license tests, which are like the hardest part. This is the first Gran Turismo where I breezed through the license tests. Gran Turismo 2, dude, those license tests were so particular. They'll kick your ass.
Yeah.
Right? In this one, it was easier. The championships are cool. People are complaining about this game for two reasons.
What are they saying?
Okay, so people don't like that you can use real money to buy money in it.
Oh, like a pay cell phone, pay to win shit.
They don't like that.
Understandable.
Which I haven't done. Okay. I haven't felt I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't like that because you could do that, the car dealerships, the rare cars are sometimes only available
for a little bit.
For like a little bit.
This reminds me of Smite.
Yeah.
Same shit, except that was character skins. They'd be like, oh, on this one day, there's this thing, and you get it, and it's like $200 for a fucking fake skin that doesn't exist in this fucking right. game, which that's all like a whole thing now. Like Fortnite has like a lot of that. It's like, oh, there's this.
You better fucking, get Spider-Man now because
all these fucking skins, and then it makes you feel like you need to get it, and it's yeah. like a whole thing. Yeah.
I'm enjoying. So that's shitty.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying playing a more adult game with my family versus like there's a little too many Mario Golfs, Mario Odysseys, yeah. Mario Tennis, Mario. It was too much Mario.
Speaking of driving games and Mario, like the one I'm excited for is all the new tracks in Mario yeah. Kart 8. Like that's what I yeah. want to fucking see because my favorite Mario Kart still to this day, like I love the Super Nintendo one.
Right.
I like going back on stream and a lot of people now make Mario Kart, Super Mario Kart hacks.
Yeah.
Fucking love that that's shit. That's awesome. Love, I love that. Because regular Super Mario Kart, it's like a little too vanilla now for me. Yeah. Kind of like Super Mario World's a little too vanilla. And, but yeah, Nintendo, they really had a trailer. And they're going to release, like every month there's going to be, like, new tracks. Fucking great. Because yeah. I kept thinking about, like, Mario Kart 8. And I was like, well, they're going to make Mario Kart 9. But I'm like, what could they even do to make it better? I think they should, in combination with having more tracks, I think that's great. I'm excited about it. I think they should release all of the old battle arenas, too.
Oh, wow.
All of them. Like, yeah. remake them. And there should be, like, way more battle arenas. Because the most fun thing, the thing I liked the most in Mario Kart was the old battle modes.
With the balloons.
In the Super Nintendo and in the N64. That's the one thing I feel like they're still, that's the one thing Mario Kart 8 doesn't really, I still will want to go back and play the Nintendo 64 one with the fucking block fort and the balloons. They haven't replicated that as much as, like, it's still better on Nintendo 64 and Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
If they could just make, like, 100 awesome, like, things and then make it fucking online.
Yeah.
And then you could have just played, like, the way, you know, Pac-Man 99 and all this shit. Like, dude, if they had, like, Block Fort 99 for Mario Kart 8, that'd be, shit, that would be fucking lit. Like, that's what they need to do.
That would be cool.
That's my car conversation yeah. for you. It's like, I like Mario, Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah. But it, yeah, I am looking forward to the Mario Kart tracks. I just really, I'm enjoying this game.
Yeah.
And I knew it wasn't thematic for the show, but I had to bring it because it's what I've been playing.
So how much of Gran Turismo 7 have you played?
So I've done 25 of the 30 menu quests. I've done 6 of the championships. I'm pretty far in, but I know that there's still so much more.
So much more to do.
Yeah.
And like, what's your favorite part about it?
I just got into the customization. I think the menu quests are cool because it's like older Gran Turismos were very grindy. And the fact is if you do what the guy says in the cafe,
yeah.
you get all the cars you would want.
Right. See, I remember it being a little boring, at least the old one, because it would be like, I would love how the game would look because the graphics yeah. would be so fucking good that it didn't matter if it was like a little boring. I'd be like, this is fucking awesome. I don't even care. But then, like, you're just driving around these long circle courses, and I was like, after a while, I'm like, all right.
I think they're going to lose me when I run out of missions and it gets grindy.
Yeah.
Because I'm not waiting for the third Tuesday of never to get the specific car.
Right.
Like, I'm just not doing that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think if it gets too hard for my wife and kids to play, I probably won't play it anymore.
If they put you in charge of the Gran Turismo series, what would you do to it to keep it to where you'd sit and play this fucking game every day?
I mean, they need to keep adding cars all the time. Like once a month, there needs to be like 5 cars, and it's just keep adding them.
To keep bringing you back.
Because this game has been in development so long, there's no like 2021, 2022, 2020 cars.
Right.
It like pretty much stops.
They're a couple years old.
Yeah. Most of the cars are like a couple years old.
So they need like DLC, that's often.
Yeah. And you think there's like, oh, there's 1,000 cars in the game or something like that. Like, that's a lot of cars.
But you want like the car that came out like this week.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's also really not a lot of cars when you think that like there's like 5 Hyundais. Mm-hmm. There's some like cool racing Hyundais. Like, if you have 100 brands and you have 1,000 cars, that means that the average brand only has 10 cars, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of hard.
Right.
And then a lot of the stuff, like, they may only have, like, the Japanese one. They don't have the American one. And they could kind of almost use the same artwork, just flip it.
Right.
But, like, in America, that car is a different engine. Now I can't see that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, you know.
So they need to keep coming out with shit, basically.
Yeah, exactly. But like, if they treat this like Mario Kart, where they're constantly adding things to it, like, I think that would be great.
And then they can keep pulling you back in. Yeah.
The other thing is this game, the freaking Steelbook version of this game I got was like $85.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was a very expensive game.
That is, yeah. Then again, I paid that much for Final Fantasy VI on Super Nintendo.
Right, yeah. I mean, they have like a $70 normal edition.
Yeah.
But it's like, what are you going to do? It's Gran Turismo. It comes out like not often. You want to get the good one.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and it costs so much money to make a game like that. It's like, shouldn't it cost $80? Shouldn't it cost more than $80? I know I'm not supposed to say that, but like, I mean,
yeah, I would rather.
How many millions of fucking dollars, and how many employees did they have to pay? And like, it's,
and they
like
3D modeled 1,000 cars, 3D modeled interior, exterior, everything customizable.
Like, it's so much work. Like, it probably should be that expensive. I mean, I don't like to say that.
Well, you know what I would love? What if this game cost $120, but all the DLC was free, and all the there was no microtransactions.
See, and that's why they have to have the microtransactions, because they can't sell a game that's cost $280, because people would fucking lose their minds.
Yeah.
And that's what fucks everything.
Right.
You know? It's like fucking how YouTube is. I mean, it should be another thing I shouldn't say, but I'm going to say the fucking ads and shit. Like, people should just pay for YouTube.
Imagine if YouTube had no ads and it was $10 a month.
Just pay the $10 a month. Done.
Just do it.
That's what it should be.
Yeah. And then we would be able to say goddamn fucking shit. Like,
yeah, people are like, oh, why can't you say, you know, bullshit and stuff? It's because of the fucking ads, and the advertisers don't want it, you know. It's what we do the like trailers for Talk About Games, and you see I curse like a fucking sailor, and the people on my it's funny people say that, because like Popeye didn't sail, or didn't curse. I mean, it's like,
he
sailed, motherfucker.
Oh, he sailed.
Yeah,
he sailed.
He sailed all time.
Yeah, but yeah.
You know. But yeah, it's just like, just that's how they should fucking make it. I don't know. I think like YouTube should just be like, fuck it, and just like everybody has to pay $10 or just get the fuck out. IP ban if you don't pay,
right?
Like, call it a day, because then then you don't have to watch fucking ads anymore, and you could say fuck, and you could say bullshit, and then we don't have to do these stupid fucking thumbnails with the white outline where we're going or whatever,
right.
Making these fucking dumb faces and shit. It's so bad. It makes everybody look like an asshole,
right?
And then the people watching are unhappy, and it's like,
I don't know. I think there's a lot of like negative expectations set on being on YouTube. Like, everybody's, you know, it's less genuine than it should be, and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, YouTube started out, and it was very, I think when it started, it was very genuine.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, it could be like the kid down the street, and he's like, he's going to make whatever, just some fun thing he's going to make, and he throws it on YouTube, and nobody might watch it. Or it might go viral and everybody might watch. And that's how we started. And then it became this whole, like, corporate fucking thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whatever. I'm going to play a fucking like Load Runner or whatever. And I don't give a fuck how many people watch it because I'm fucking like done.
That's what we're doing.
Like, I don't care. Like, because yeah. I know nobody fucking cares about Load Runner, and that's fine. Like, two people could watch it. But as long as, like, I just hope that a couple people enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. And I hope you guys like this podcast. Hope you guys continue to watch. And I hope you guys check out our Patreon, because we have a lot more content on there. After we record all this, then we go and we record a lot more stuff for Patreon. Every week we do a video, and it's like we talk about retro games, and we talk about Star Trek, and we talk about Disney and all kinds of shit. And, you know, if you like this show, you'll probably like it's this, you know, you'll probably like the content on Patreon. I think you should check it out.
Yeah. And we will see you next time on the next Talk About Games.
Thanks for watching, guys. Bye.